It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA, it is your boy Lonzo, aka LA, and I have with me my co-host Kimmery Cartwright. Hey, Kimmery.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, it's been a minute, man. What you been up to?
Listen, living life. being mommy, being wifey, you know, getting things together. I have a few gigs and stuff like that coming up and getting cool. The babies ready. So yeah, just living.
Good deal. Good deal. And if you want to share any coming up events, it's all you, man. You can go at it.
Oh yeah. I have one major one coming up in September, I believe it's September 19th. I'll have to send you the flyer and everything. It's called Throne Room.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Throne Room. And so this would be my second year doing it. I think last year I did it, but last year I was doing BGVs, like background vocals.
Yeah.
This year I'm up there. So it's called the Throne Room Experience, and it will be September the 11th through the 12th. I said the 19th, but it's 11th through the 12th.
Wow. I can't wait. I'm telling our listeners, if you have not seen Kimmery minister through music, mm-hmm. she is a one woman. What do I want to say, man? I want to say machine and worship and praise team. She does it all. And on the fly, too. You can call her at the last second and she will just take over and make things, man, you feel the spirit. She's definitely anointed. So,
God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to just give myself a pat on the back. Now my album has dropped.
Yes. Yeah. Somebody go get it. Yes.
I'm so
proud.
Yes. And I also have some exciting news. I'm going to touch on a little, but we're still working things out, but it's involving the Stella Awards, man, already. So I'm super excited. And I do want to apologize because I know a few years back I was really critical saying the Stellas need to really showcase holy hip hop,
mm-hmm.
gospel rap. And I was adamant about it. And now I'm telling y'all, I'm sorry. Accept my apology. I'm being a little facetious, but it really is, man, I'm just excited. And hopefully by next Sunday I can confirm things for you, but I'm just excited about that. And please think about it. Holy Ambition is the name of the album. Please don't hesitate. Go just listen.
Yeah.
So thank you. Now, I was asking for their forgiveness, but I sent you this link. I wanted to talk about what this person sent on forgiveness, and I wanted to get your take on it. And I'm going to play it for you and our listeners if you're ready.
All right.
All right.
Don't accept every apology. Everybody that says sorry ain't sorry. Because even snakes shed their skins to look new again. But that new skin don't change that old venom. Some people don't regret hurting you. They regret that you stopped tolerating it. And an apology without changed behavior is just manipulation with better wording. So you better stop being so quick to forgive and slow to protect yourself. Because some people don't come back to fix things. They come back to see if you're still weak enough to accept less. You better protect your peace.
What do you think, Kimberly?
I don't want to mix it up and mess the viewers up. So I would not say don't forgive, right? Yeah. Because really, when you forgive somebody, it's really not for them, it's for you. So I don't want to say don't forgive. You can forgive them and leave them where they're at, meaning not to visit anymore. It may sound harsh, but for me, if I have a doubt in my mind that your apology or what you have said to me, you don't mean it, I accept your apology for me, right? But after I accept that apology and you, whatever, that's it. It's almost like you don't even exist to me anymore. Like, I will not put any energy into you. Mm-hmm. Like you said, protect your peace. The crazy thing is my word for the year is peace. And I think a lot of people fail to realize that you have a choice. You have a choice to choose peace. You have a choice to be happy. You have a choice to be mad. You have a choice. And I just choose peace. That means that anything coming my way that is negative or whatever, I don't have to give it juice. I don't have to give it energy for it to spark and be more than what it is, regardless of what, you know, that person or the situation is. I'm not finna give you anything extra. You say what you say, I'm gonna say what I say. I'm not giving you anything else. If I feel like, you know what I'm saying, this is something that can't be saved or anything like that, I'm gonna leave you where you at. God bless you. And then that's gonna be the end of that. Like, there will be no, you don't have access to me anymore. Access will always be denied. You know what I mean? Yes. Regardless of how you feel or whatever, if you, you know, text me, if you got my number, because more than likely, if you got my number, I'm gonna need for you to lose that. But, you know, I'm gonna make sure that you feel that you don't have access to me anymore. You know, you can't conversation, going to anything. You do not have access to me anymore. And I will make sure that it's clear. Like, my boundaries will be clear. Like, no. We will not go backwards. Like I said, I do. You know, I thought you said you got some people, but I thought you, you know, forgave me. I did. But just because I forgave you doesn't mean I have to give you access to me anymore.
Yes.
Because I don't trust you. I can't trust you. So that's my take on it. I would not say don't forgive, because not forgiving, it hurts you more than it hurt that person. And I feel like you're, you know, putting fuel to the fire when you don't forgive that person, because then in their mind, they're winning. Yeah. No, you are not winning. I forgive you and God bless you. And yeah, I don't even know who you is no more. I don't know you or that situation.
Amen. And I totally agree with you. And I'll just add, you know, we cannot, you know, expect Christ to forgive us, forgiving our brothers and sisters. And that's super important. But I wanted to play that for another reason, too, because we've talked about forgiveness on the show at least two other times.
Yeah.
But the piece that I really want to stress, and I thought about it, I said, I never talked about this, because you're here, forgive and forget. And forget is not biblical. There is nothing in the Bible that says you have to forget. And so we really need to, you can remember the pain that this person caused you, which could be traumatic, to your point, and want that peace. And that means separating yourself. That doesn't mean standing in the line of fire. And yeah, and it's funny, I was having this conversation with someone, and then I was like, the wheels start turning. I was like, well, where did forget come from? And I started like Googling, as I always do, and I found Shakespeare and another author, I can't remember his name, but both of them around the same time, and their literatures mentioned forgive and forget. And so it's just been this huge misunderstanding, misconception, pairing that with what Christ told us we should do, you know, so the forget part. So I was like, we gotta talk about that piece too. But right. Yeah, I agree with you, Kimberly, all day long.
Absolutely. Don't forget nothing. Now you can't forget nothing, because if you forget, then you might forget why you cut that person off. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to forget nothing.
Yes, yes. That's highly unwise, I think. So
But
any other things you want to discuss before I talk about our guest this week? Because it's been a while. I just want to make certain that we're all caught up.
What I was about to say, I was about to say something. Oh, I want to say change is necessary, right? Mm-hmm. Change is necessary. It's not easy. Transforming is also not easy, but it's most definitely necessary, I believe. And I know that just came out of the woodwork. And I say this because I am going through a transition and a change, and it looks different. It looks different. Mm-hmm. It feels different. It's very uncomfortable. And some people can't handle change. Some people think change is bad, and it's not bad. I want people to understand that change is not bad. A lot of times change is actually needed, but it feels very uncomfortable because we're not accustomed to it. We're not used to it. And so when we're dealing with change and or transition, sometimes I feel like us as people, we have to give ourselves grace, right? We have to give ourselves grace and give the situation as much grace also, because, you know, sometimes if we say we don't want to do something, right, that we've been doing for so long and people know us from doing that so long, sometimes people don't know how to take that. Because they know you as being the radio host. They may know you as being the car dealer. They might know you as being the cook or whatever it is that you're doing. But for some reason, something in your life changed that path, and you might not want to be the car dealer anymore or the radio host anymore. God might shift you a little bit, you know, and a lot of people might not understand that. And even you may not understand that, but you know that you need to make that change for the better. Give yourself grace. Give yourself a lot of grace. Give the situation grace, and allow God to lead you to your next. Allow God to lead you to your next. It's okay that you are not familiar with what you're getting ready to walk into. It's okay that you're not comfortable with what you're getting ready to walk into, but you never know. Whatever you're getting ready to walk into could be bigger than whatever you were comfortable at, you know. I don't believe God made us to stay in the same place forever. I don't think he structured us that way to just be this person our entire life. You know what I'm saying? There we come with trial and error. We were born into this world with sin and things of that nature. So throughout our lives, we're going to learn a lot of different things, and learning a lot of things comes with change, you know. So I just want to tell the listeners out there that, you know, give yourself a little grace, and change is not always bad. Change is needed. So
I love that. And I just want to say that I admire your courage, and I support and praying with you as you go through the transformation, and also from a biblical perspective, you know, this is a process. Life mm-hmm. is a process. We go through different stages for a reason, and there are nuggets from each stage. So, my sister, I'm with you on that. I thank you so much for sharing it. It means more than you know, than you know, for real. Yes, yes. And I'm going to just touch on our guest when we come back, man. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, she is a realtor and a realist. She has a passion for helping clients find their dream homes mm-hmm. and invest wisely in real estate. And y'all, I'm telling you, she has so much information to share, and information that is invaluable, man. You gotta listen to her. For those who are thinking about home ownership, if your credit is damaged, strained, fractured, you will benefit from this interview. So when we come back, y'all, Latrice McFadden, she's going to keep it real. And as Kimry, as always, much appreciation to you, my sister. Look forward to our next guests together, and God bless.
Tap In is a events ticketing / artist promoting platform. There's three features that come with Tap In, which is really awesome. One, We make it easy to discover events that are in your local area. Also, for artists who are, you know, event planners or organizers who want to sell tickets to their events, we make sure that you keep 100% of your ticket sales. Number two, we wanted to make sure that artists can build a community around themselves and their events. And then number three, a lot of times you'll hear an artist say, visit my website, visit my portfolio, take this QR code. Well, we wanted to make it easy and actually add those portfolios and websites into the app so that it's all in one place. Mm-hmm. So consider it like almost like a one-stop shop for artists and event organizers and planners. Is available to download and use. It is on both Apple Store and Google Play Store.
All right, beautiful people, we are back. And today's conversation is one that I believe impacts every family, every relationship, every generation. And let me say, I had the pleasure of collaborating with our guests at the Juneteenth Manifest event, and I just knew that you all will benefit from the nuggets that she will drop. We had a really good conversation. And when you really look deeper, because we often talk about generational wealth and real estate and home ownership, and it's just something that we really need to have a better understanding of as a whole. So we're going to talk about the power of property, the mistakes people make, all of that good stuff. I am honored to welcome my guest, Latrice McFadden. I'm going to let her go into her connections, her story. She brings a lot to the table, y'all. So welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA, Latrice McFadden. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited about this conversation because I'm truly passionate about it. So I enjoyed our conversation as well.
Yes. It was an eye opener. So thank you. But before we talk about the real estate piece and all those nuggets you drop, I want our listeners to know who Latrice is. So tell us your story, your connections, because I know we talked about Tribor and your other associations, NARAB, I believe. And so tell us who you are.
Yes, sir. So my name is Latrice McFadden. I live in Durham now. I'm a wife, a mother of three adult children. So we are empty nesters. have been in real estate since 1997. I'll let you do the math on that. started in real estate. Actually, my husband, before we got married, he was like, you should get your real estate license. And I was like, okay, because I had done a lot of entrepreneurial things. Wow. Even in college, and we also did a lot of different businesses since we've been married. So that's sort of how, nothing exciting, but that's sort of how I got into real estate. And like I said, we've done a lot of different businesses, but the real estate is the one that has really stuck and stayed with me, because it's just something about being able to help people get into that first home or sell a home or invest and things like that. And I think you ask about things I'm part of. So The event that we were at with you all at Juneteenth was, we were there as a representation of Tribor, which is the Triangle Board of Realtors. And that's the local board of NARAB, which is the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. And we were established, NARAB was established in 1947 when we, people that looked like me and you, could not be realtors. It was established in 1947 in Tampa, Florida, because we needed our own organization and our own thing. So nowadays I say that I am a realtor by force and a realtist by choice, because in order to really be successful in the business and have access to the tools you need, you really have to be a realtor, being a member of the National Association of Realtors. So that's sort of the history. And I think I had mentioned to you that I actually met the first Black realtor, which was kind of crazy when you think about it. You think these things are so far removed, and they really aren't. And I looked it up, and he became a realtor in 1964, I think. Yeah. So that's a little bit about. Oh, and then the other organization, I have a group called the Triangle Wealthy Group. Right. And we are a group of realtors, real estate professionals that are affiliated with eXp Realty. So I was introduced to the Wealthy Group out of Atlanta, actually at a NAREP convention in Ohio back in 2021. And people had mentioned eXp to me before, but I was like, I'm not doing that. I keep 100% of my commission, yada, yada, yada. But I didn't listen. So I do encourage people to listen to things, because it's one of the best decisions that I've ever made in bringing my business to eXp Realty. So we do the Triangle Wealthy Group. We host a lot of different consumer events, real estate professional events. We have a big one coming up on July 14th, a retreat, wealthy retreat for my fellow real estate professionals. So,
that sounds outstanding. And 1964 is way too long to get there, right?
Way too long.
Thank you for sharing that. And speaking of which, and you mentioned people who look like us, I want to ask, what do you think most people misunderstand about buying a home? And I think I shared with you last week that I knew a man years ago. He was in his 50s, and he told me, he said, no one ever told me I didn't know anything about purchasing a home. And he ended up buying a home. I can't remember if he was 52 or 54, but he bought his first home at 54 years old. And just because a lady sat him down and went over the process. So what's the big misunderstanding about that?
I think a lot of people just think that it's too difficult, that you have to have perfect credit, that you have to have tens of thousands of dollars in the bank, 20% down. And if you haven't seen home ownership, then you don't even know that it's a thing. So I think just lack of education, lack of knowledge, and then fear of, because some people are like, well, I don't want to have to take care of my own home. I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to pay a mortgage. But you're paying a mortgage if you're renting. You're paying somebody else's mortgage, and they're getting all the benefits and building the wealth. So I would say that's probably one of the biggest misunderstandings.
That makes perfect sense. And you're right, because before I purchased my home, I'm sitting here thinking, like, yeah, I need $20,000 to put down. And, you know, so those are like true misconceptions. And I really want to talk. You touched on something else I found important. You talked about the generational wealth piece. And when you look at like land and property, that has been one of the biggest ways families have built wealth, right? So, so why is owning land or property such a powerful legacy tool?
Well, one, there's not any more land being produced. So if you get it, hold on to it. But there was an example at one of the NAREP conventions that I went to, and I don't remember the specific numbers, but they talked about how I think it was in the 70s, and a white family was able to purchase a home while the black family was not, because of redlining and other things that were going on, difficulty getting financing and stuff like that. But that white family that was able to purchase a home then in the 70s, they continued to, you know, pay it off, build equity by paying it off. They built equity by appreciation. And so as they stayed in this home, they were able to use the equity out of the home to put their children through college, pay for one child's wedding, and then eventually even sell the home, take the equity and buy another retirement home. Because, you know, a lot of times when we're growing a family, we have bigger homes, maybe two-story homes and things like that. So they were able to do all of that, but the family, the black family that couldn't purchase a home, they were, you know, they had to start a lot later, and they didn't have that equity build up, because you do have to, it takes time to build the equity between appreciation and making payments. But that's just one example of why it's so important to own, if not investment, at least your primary residence. We had a session with a lender who does reverse mortgages for 55 plus loans, things like that. And some of the information that he shared, I was just like really blown away with how, because I've said sometimes that for us is the only savings that we really have. And so if you have saved, you get it paid off. Now with these reverse mortgages, you can live off of your home and let it pay you back. So, and I know that reverse mortgages have gotten a bad rep, some negative things to it, but I think if, like anything, if you get educated and you know what you're doing and you have somebody reputable that you're working with, it can be a very valuable tool that you could use.
I absolutely love those answers, and you painted a perfect picture of what generational wealth looks like. And I can just tell you on my family, I've seen it where family members were left with, you know, property, and they quickly lost it, like within a year or two, whether it was they took out a second mortgage and didn't pay, or they sold it for a lot less than the value. So I'm just so glad, because when you look at that compared to the other example you gave about college and, you know, getting a second home, and it's just clear, it's black and white.
Exactly. And that brings me to the piece about estate planning, because a lot of times in our community, we don't really want to talk about the inevitable, because we all came here, we're all going to leave. Yes. But we have to plan. And that's something else that our counterparts will do. They plan for the generation after generation. They use life insurance, whole life insurance. They start, you know, getting insurance when their babies are born. And then by the time they're 18, 20, 25, they're their own bank. Mm-hmm. But we don't do that. And so when go to speak to your point of, you know, people get their inherit property and then they don't pay the taxes on it. So sometimes it's foreclosed or some predator is out here waiting for them to see, you know, ambulance chasing or morgue chasing, whatever you want to call it. And they're like, oh, this land is, especially if like some of our inner cities that have been gentrified and places, oh, let me go offer this person $20,000-$30,000. And that's the most they've ever seen. Yes. Or maybe there's some infighting or whatever. And they're like, oh, yeah. But if they had just put it on the market or held on to it or whatever, that could have been hundreds of thousands of dollars. But again, we don't know what we don't know. So that's why with the Triangle Wealthy Group and Tribor, we really want to, you know, make sure we're doing our best to educate our community so that they know and they don't fall victim to these losses. Because, you know, if you've never had a lump sum of money, 20, 30, 40,000 seems like a lot. And they don't bother to tell you that, oh, by the way, you're going to sign this offer, this contract with me, and I'm going to go list it for sale for twice as much. And then you get your part and I've gotten my part because the value is so high. So,
amen. Amen. I really, and hopefully I think you know, and appreciate this, but this is probably one of the most important episodes from a practical longevity, you know, like this is really valuable information. So I just had to pause and say that, because you really are sharing a lot of information. And on that note, and I'll share. So when my mother, she was in a nursing home her final few years on this earth, and she had, in order to get assistance, because if you don't know, I'm telling you, nursing homes are extremely expensive. So for the government to come in, we basically had to give up. She couldn't own anything.
Right.
And so we had to cash out her life insurance policies. Thank God she had that, and give all that to the government as well. So what would you say would be a good strategy? Because I going back to your one of your answers, you were talking about how other groups have plan for this and prepare for this. What would you give? What advice would you give to someone who owns land? They're getting up in age and they're like, I want to leave this to my my children. I don't want to forfeit this to the government to be in a nursing home.
Yes.
Sorry for the long quote.
No. That is so key. And that goes back to the estate planning that I mentioned. And I will be honest, estate planning can be very expensive, but it's very necessary if you have property, even if it's just one home, because you're right. In order to qualify for government assistance, Medicaid, you cannot own anything. You can't have anything of value. Yeah. And then not only that, they do a 5-year look back period.
Yes.
So on our Juneteenth session that we had the day before our session, the attorney that was there, she was like, does anybody know when they're going to need Medicaid? And it was a rhetorical question. Everybody was looking around like, should I know? And no, we don't know. But that's another important reason for you to plan ahead so that you can figure out what strategy you need. Maybe it's putting it in a trust. And this is not my lane. I'm just regurgitating some things I've heard. So don't, but you need to go to the professional.
Patrice said,
no. right. I'm telling you what somebody told me, but you need to talk to a professional, because maybe it is putting it in a trust. Maybe it's taking advantage of this, the 55 plus, or actually I think you have to be 62, but the reverse mortgage, because the strategies that they said and how they shared how you can leave the property to your family but still live off of it is amazing. So I think it's about getting educated at whatever age you are and starting that estate planning, starting it so that you can not have to give up everything just so you can be taken care of in your, you know, later years. But you got to start early, and you got to set aside some money to make that investment, because it will be well worth it to make sure that your family is secure.
Amen. Thank you. I was going to add another piece to it. Like you said, it's not really in my lane, but thank God. There's a spousal clause that they don't share with you. And so although my mother was in that nursing home because my stepfather was still in the residence, they didn't take all that they could. And that one was willing to share that. But a lady who knew, I actually worked with her mother, and she pulled me to the side and said, ask about the spousal clause. So God bless her for sharing that with me as well. Now, I'm going to touch on something that it's a pet peeve of mine, and it never has impacted me. But I know of two couples who've done this. They purchased a home together. Just tell me what you think about this. That's all I'm going to ask you.
So I'm assuming these couples were not married.
They were not married. I'm sorry. Let me go back to that. Yeah, they were not married.
So I always have my soapbox about this, and I tell all of my clients, and I always tell my clients, I'm giving you this information so you can make an informed decision. Ultimately, what you do that is best for you and your family and your lifestyle, that is on you. But I'm going to give you the information so you can't come back and be like, why did you let me do this? So my soapbox that I always tell clients that are not married is to never buy a house together. If you're planning to get married, one person buy it. And then once you get married, you will both own the house anyway. And I even tell my couples who are married, if you can, it's getting more and more difficult, but if you can, buy on one income. So you'll know that if something happens to one income, you still can maintain your, you know, maintain your mortgage and bills and things like that. But if you're not married, it's not like anything else. It's not like even just a credit card, because you can close that credit card, or you can, you know, maybe even get rid of a car or whatever. But when you buy a house together, because you're not only buying, say you buy that house together and something happens to that person, and then their lineage, they have a child or a parent or whatever, because y'all aren't married, there's no guarantee of the property going, that person's portion going directly to you. And if you, you know, for heaven forbid, you know, y'all decide to go your separate ways and it gets ugly, you can't just sell that house. That other person that, that's on that loan, they could be like, well, I don't care about my credit and I'm not paying a dime and I'm not letting you sell this house. So you're stuck. You're stuck and it's your credit and you're going to be responsible for it. And there's nothing you can do with it. You can't take out any equity lines or mortgage loans or anything. You can't sell it. All you can do is maintain it to try to maintain your credit. So if you're not married, please, please don't buy the house together. And if you do, because I mean, realistically in this today and age, I've told people like, if you want to buy, like, even if you want to buy with a sibling or a parent, make sure that you go through the whole process. Y'all talk about your exit strategy. What if somebody gets married? What happens if I don't make it, if I get sick or I can't do whatever? You need to have all of these conversations and then put it in writing of what those strategies are. Because if you buy a house with a sibling or somebody else and they get married, then that spouse, unless you've had them to sign a quit claim deed, no, not a quit claim deed, a free trader agreement before you get married, that spouse would own half of that person's half.
Yeah.
So you're just setting yourself up for so
much.
Farmers Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25 fast.
A free trader agreement before you get married, that spouse would own half of that person's half.
Yeah.
So you're just setting yourself up for so much. And then on the flip side, if you're separating, go on and just get the divorce.
Thank you. Yeah. That's
just do it, because if you don't, the one person or both of y'all have gone on and y'all living lives with other people, and then something happens, that person that you living with, and they might be helping to pay half the mortgage or pay half the bills or whatever. They don't own anything. They don't have any claim to it. That's right. Going to go to the ex-spouse or to the current spouse, because y'all are still married. And insurance, it's just so many things. So I know sometimes it's easier to just like be like, oh, well, I'm not getting married again, so I don't need to get divorced. But just do yourself a favor. Handle really your affair.
It's really messy. We call that a ghetto divorce, man.
Yes.
Not legally divorced, but just not together. But to your point, and I've seen that happen too, someone leaves this world and their affairs goes to the person because they're still the spouse on paper.
Yeah.
And I actually know a case where they're like, okay, oh, well, figure out how you're going to pay for the funeral, because it won't come from this, the money that was left to me. So,
right.
Yeah.
And even that, like, make sure you're updating your bank accounts and different things to have someone listed as a beneficiary, and just, you know, maybe make yourself a once a year on the calendar that you just go through and look at your stuff. And and I'm talking to myself too, because I find stuff, like, even just business wise, where I'm like, oh, dang, I need to update that. I changed the address or the phone number or whatever. But we just need to make sure that we are handling our business and, you know, protecting ourselves and protecting our families.
Amen. So not only are we talking about real estate, we don't talk about trust, we don't talk about benefactors. We're doing it, man. I appreciate you.
It's so much.
It really is. So what's something you wish every 25-year-old knew about money and real estate?
I wish that they knew that it's a tool and that you have young age on your side, and to learn what you need to do to manage that tool and make it work for you. Don't wait till you're 30, 40, 50 to start trying to buy a house or start saving or investing in a 401k or whatever. Use that tool in your youth and your age so that you can compound your interest if you're investing in a stock market or whatever retirement fund you're investing in. But also, while you're young and you don't have any responsibilities, you're not married and have children, house hack a couple of houses. Buy a house, live in it for a year, rent it out, take some equity out of it, go buy the next one so that you can start building, because it's much easier to buy a home as an owner-occupant, or it's much less expensive and easier to buy a home as an owner-occupant than it is to buy it as an investor. So that's what I would like to say to the young people, even younger than 25. The contractor that I work with, he's already, on our Juneteenth event, he was saying how he has already put investment properties in his, he has, I think, a 12-year-old son and then a 18, 19-year-old son.
Wow.
They already own investment properties. So start young, take those risks. And there's risk, and there's, it's not, a peachy keen everything go your way. But while you're young, And at any age, whatever age you are, you can start. But if you're young, definitely start, because you have more time to let things compound. And then, if something doesn't go quite right, you got a little bit more time to get it right. So, and learn from whatever the things. But get a mentor, get somebody that's done it and that's willing to help.
I love all of that. Man, great, great answer. And I've had, I don't know if all three of them, maybe one I would consider a mentor, but one person told me to invest in Krispy Kreme donuts when I was very young. I didn't listen. The other person said, invest in Microsoft. I listened to him, put some money in, but I pulled it out. I still made a little bit. What was the third one? Oh, BT. BET. And they were like, hey, you need to invest in BET. And I didn't do that. But if I had to listen, man. Good stuff. So let me ask you, on your side, as a woman in real estate, how does that look as far as your experiences? An African-American woman, let me add that. But your experiences in the real estate business and the industry, because you mentioned NARAB earlier. So, yeah.
Yes. And I wish I had looked this number up. But I know that women, and particularly Black women, own houses at a significantly higher rate than Black men. As a matter of fact, one of our sessions that we had when we were doing our Building Black Wealth tour was Black Men Buy Houses, to encourage Black men to buy houses, because women, we're doing the darn thing. We're getting out here. We're buying our houses. I mean, I my dad told me, I think at 27, maybe 26, 27, he was like, you need to buy a house. And I've said this many times. I was one of those people. I was like, I can't buy a house, because when I was in school and they were still coming on the yard with the credit cards, I got every single one of them. And I used every single one of them. Had the bag phones and the diamond earrings and everything, you name it, I probably had it. But I'm glad that I had that family, that figure, family influence, because I did see my parents when growing up, investing in real estate, my grandparents owning businesses and stuff like that. So because he told me to do that, I went and found out, it's not as bad as I thought it was. And I was actually able to buy my first house. I think I was 27, I think, 95. No, I was 24. I bought it in 95. So I was 24.
That's awesome.
When I bought my first house. Mm-hmm. Then I went out and bought a car. So don't do that. So I got a roommate, but I did, I did it. So I think for women, just knowing that you can do it, just anybody can do it, but, you can just get with someone, ask the questions and figure out where you are, make a plan and stick to the plan. Cause you might be ready now. You might be ready in 6 months. You might be ready in a year or 2 years, but if it's something that you are certain that you want to do, then call somebody like me. Yes. And let's talk about what your goals are and do it. just do it. What I do tell people is, like, you know, like I said, when you, it's with the motto in North Carolina is one to buy, two to sell. So if you own your own home before you get married, you might want to have that straight conversation about, okay, if for some reason, heaven forbid, it doesn't work out, because sadly, you know, there's the divorce rate is pretty high. Yeah. Okay, this house, or this, how do you want to divide that up? Because, yeah. And you know, if things, when you get emotional, stuff happens. So if you bought that house on either side, you had that house and you get married and that person doesn't have a house, or maybe they do, maybe y'all say, okay, whether your house is your house, my house is my house, or whatever, but have those conversations before, so that you can both, you know, protect yourself and plan, and then just strategize, because you can use those to build wealth too. So just have the full conversation.
Hey, man, good, great advice. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, I'm not surprised about women purchasing and owning homes at a significantly higher rate than men. What do you think the correlation is? I would love to hear what your thoughts are. You're smiling. Go ahead and say it. Is it shade on the brothers? Or you
no, I just think as women, we just may be more willing to take a risk or a change. I think maybe sometimes men feel like they have more responsibility than they think we do. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But I just think, and it could be how you're, what you've seen when you're growing up, you know, were you raised by a single parent that never owned a home? Were you raised by a married couple that never, you know, married parents that never owned a home? So I think it can be what you, just what you see. And then I women just, you know, we just, we see it and we're like, oh, yeah. I can do that. Yeah, yes. I can do that. And we'll tend to go ahead and just do it. And I think also and I don't have the numbers on this too, but I think we also tend to go for college education and advanced degrees at a higher level as well. So then there's a higher level of income that, you know, makes it a little bit easier for you to purchase a home or invest in real estate or whatever. So,
That's good. I'm sitting here processing when I got mine, and I'm thinking, and it actually, the person who told me to invest in Microsoft, listening to him, he actually had already owned a home in Alabama, and they just purchased one here. And I remember him breaking it down to me. He said, hey, you're paying rent at this rate. Your rent's going to keep going up. You purchased a home. Your mortgage is fixed for, you know, 30 years. So as inflation and everything goes up, you're still paying that mortgage. And I was like, wow, that makes sense. I mean, he hit me with logic, and then he said, can't go wrong in real estate. The value is going to go up and you're still paying the same amount. I was like, wow, and so I say all that to say the mentor piece is valuable. And maybe if more of us are pulling, young brothers to the side and saying, hey, this is what you need to do. And I'll be honest with you, just hearing it myself, I could probably do a better job at that. I'll talk about career and this and that, but the home ownership piece, I should do a better job of, you know, reaching out and helping our younger people prepare for the future. So
Absolutely. I think we all could. And that's one of the things that we, you know, really strive to do is provide that education. Because like I said, I'll never forget when I think I had just graduated from college and I had this little one bedroom apartment, and the lady had brought her daughter over and she was coming to do my hair. Mm-hmm. And I was like, she wanted something. And I was like, oh, go look in the dishwasher. And her mother was like, she don't know what no dishwasher is. And I was like, oh, wow. So I think sometimes we can take for granted the experience that we have, and we just think that everybody knows what a dishwasher is, or that they can own a home, or that they should try to own a home. And that's just not the case. So I think we do need to make sure that we are sharing information with people to let them know that that they can own a home. And another piece that I wanted to share about the importance of home ownership, especially with having family and children, is stability. it's really, you would be amazed at what the stability of you lived in a one home, or you, even if you did move and you moved into another home, just something about not knowing that you don't have to move every year because the rent's going to go up or whatever. That does a lot for confidence and, you know, establishing friendships and relationships and things like that. So I think that's another important factor. And that's why I say, if you're young and don't have any children or whatever, then go ahead and start with the house hacking. But once you start to build a family, then you might have to look at a different route for investing.
Wow, that is solid. I appreciate you more than you know for that. That was very important. I want to thank you again. A lot of great information. I implore our listeners to really take heed if they are struggling with their credit, if they thought about purchasing a home, please take advantage of it. And before we close, I always give the floor to my guests. You can talk about anything you want to, any upcoming events. I think you mentioned some earlier, how to get in contact with you, which is extremely important if they want that solid advice. So I am handing it back over to you, Latrice.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And thank you again for this opportunity to be on this platform and share the information. One thing that you just mentioned about credit, we are seeing an increase of foreclosures. People are in default. And there for a while there were no foreclosures, but they're starting to come back. So if you are someone that is financially struggling, like people who maybe may have either lost their jobs, or during COVID, a lot of people did. First of all, they were paying way too much for houses and maybe upside down right now, or maybe they got in a situation and you have some equity. But if you're struggling with, you know, getting your mortgage paid, reach out to someone, because there's different options. Don't be the one who waits until you get the knock on the door, or the letter from the sheriff that you're going into foreclosure. So there are nonprofit agencies that can, you know, try to negotiate with your mortgage company for you. And if they, worst case scenario, then you may need to do what's called a short sale, where the lender will accept less than what is owed on it. And that's better, a little bit better for your credit than getting a foreclosure. So if you are struggling financially for whatever reason, we know there's a lot going on in the world today. Yes. Definitely don't just be like, oh, it's going to go away. It's going to go away, because it's not. It's going to go away with you getting a notice and a padlock, and then you got 2 hours the next day to come and get your stuff out. So don't be afraid to ask for help. And don't, a lot of times I feel, I didn't believe this, but then I heard somebody tell me that people really do think everything they see on social media is real, and that all of the great things that people are putting on social media are real. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was like, she does some marriage coaching or whatever. She was like, they'd be on Facebook and all this stuff, and they ain't even speaking to each other. I'm trying to keep from getting divorced. So don't believe that all, whatever. Don't think that your life is something unreal, and that all of these other people have all of these great lives. Because believe me, we all have our own trials and tribulations that we're going through. We just going to show you the best part, or what we want you to think on social media. So don't feel, I'm saying that to say, don't feel like you would be embarrassed about whatever is going on in your life financially. Just get the help so that you can deal with it and try to, you know, cut it off before it gets to the point where you are homeless. So, but you can reach me. My website is makeyourmove.biz. I can be reached at latrice@latrice.biz, latrice@latrice.biz. And my phone number is 919-730-0803. You can call or text me. I do my best to be very responsive to messages. If for some reason you text me for the first time and I don't respond, Apple has started this thing where unknown numbers go to some separate folder. So sometimes I don't get those, but please give me a chance. Call me, text me again or something, because I try to make it a habit to go in there at least once a day and look at those unknown messages. But other than that, I try to be very responsive to that. But we do, the Triangle Wealthy Group, like I said, we do have monthly consumer events once a month. Sometimes they're in person, sometimes they're virtual. This month is actually next week, July 9th, if I remember correctly. It's going to be a virtual and it's going to be on investing. And you can go to twgpresents.com and register. And actually, all of our consumer events are on twgpresents.com. And you can see what we have going on. We do home buyer. We do home seller. We talk about insurance. We talk about estate planning. We want you to have the full picture of what you need to do to live your best life. And then for my fellow real estate professionals, because we always want to make sure that we are educated. We don't believe in crabs in the bucket. We believe in collaboration over competition. So we want to make sure that we all have, you know, as much education. There is plenty to go around. So we want to make sure that you are as knowledgeable as we are so that we can all be successful and pull each other up. Because there was a statistic that last year, I think over 75% of agents, maybe even higher than that, sold only one house. And you cannot live off, unless you're in that luxury market. But for the most part, you can't live off of selling one house. And I have a lot of people reach out to me about, you know, getting into real estate. And I love it. I've been doing it for a long time. But it is it's a business, and you have to treat it like a business if you want to be successful in it. And so we want to make sure that we are educating. So we're going to be having actually our Triangle Wealthy Retreat on Tuesday, July 14th. And you can register for that at twgpresents.com. We have a top producer panel. We're going to have an AI session and lots of different things coming on. But we have events. We have a biweekly mastermind for realtors. You can register for that. That is online every other Thursday at twgmastermind.com. So lots of things. Just reach out to me if you have any questions about any aspect of real estate, investing, buying, selling. I just really have a passion for first-time home buyers, and now I'm getting more into that investing realm as well. So that's me.
Hey, man. Hey, we can tell that you're passionate about it. And that's what I think that's what we need when we're in our profession. It never feels like work when you really care, right?
Right.
So thank you so much, Latrice. What a pleasure. What an honor. As always, you always have a seat at the Unknown Preacher LA's table. And if you ever want to drop some more nuggets, man, don't hesitate to reach out. Latrice McFadden, y'all. Thank you, Latrice.
Thank you so much. I have totally enjoyed this.
Yes, me too.
Bubblegum under the desk of the God, cause he the best. Wi-Fi in the spirit, never ever disconnect. God is gonna win before this thing even begin. Excited about his mercy, so I had to tell my kin. Dead in my sin, Jesus brought me back in. Mowed your boy from a mess, now I'm God's porcelain. Of course I sin, who don't? But then again, who won't? Look in the mirror and admit it to ourselves, we don't. My favorite day is Sunday, I give the Lord his money. They call it Sunday, because of Jesus is abundant. He touched my heart and I'll never be the same. Man, if I'm the flame, Jesus Christ the gasoline, man, because he cleaned me up, that's a disinfect. See, profit if you don't get it in check. Stretch out my faith, I got a longer length. Never count to 10, I ask the Lord for strength. Lord, give me strength, the world coming at me. Lord, give me strength, lost my mommy and my daddy. People come at me and say, cause I'm a Christian. Spreading the word to the world, that's my mission. I say raps that are hotter than cakes. Then I have the choir singing on breaks. What a difference he makes. In my life, I really want to be a bishop. If there are hiccups, Jesus Christ will be the water. In order, please God, follow his plan. Dottie McClurkin, you gotta just stand. What's a man if he gain wealth and lose a soul? What's the point of knowing versus if your heart's cold? I hold it down for all people still blackish. Spit lyrics, fight evil, no practice. Need a pen and a pad when I wanna flow. Need just a knee. pad when I pray for foes. In the field, cause I feel all the hearts he reached. Book deals, record deals, but I still preach. So many blinds like the ones in the house. So many unfair cause they won't open their mouth. Just a common man, work hard for dollar and cents. And I understand mama raised me common sense. God don't like ugly in the world, it's like Wanda. Living color and wondering from propaganda. In the marketplace, I was really feeling nice. But heads start turning like I'm stealing merchandise. Forgot about God like they having amnesia. Full of themselves like milk or magnesia. Sleeping on God is spiritual anesthesia. But I'm woke by his grace and Jesus, I need ya. I need love like LL Cool J. I'm from NC, so I express my faith. Christians are different, and God we trust. Say it like Kendrick, cause they not like us. I'm a tenant, the family's on God's property. Franklin's come because we worship him properly. Relief Tylenol and my fuel ethanol. Can't deny his deity, 911 took the call. Who's the voice? Turn around and you see me. No battle rap, but they still wanna beat me. Strange new world, but a different tomorrow. Stay on track, God is the star I follow. Here we go, uh-oh, sing it like Coco. Stay focused, Jesus Christ I follow. Remember Apollo, the people are booing you. When you speak the truth, the powers wanna ruin you. When you speak the truth, the powers wanna ruin you.
When you speak the truth, the powers wanna ruin you.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown, unknown. It's the unknown, unknown preacher.